Mrs. Hodgson, that's no way for a president to act. You're removed from office. So there I go down that sliding slope again. And then I'm going to tell you, it really, I still thought everybody was pretty well the same, because most everybody didn't have anything back in those days. Everybody worked in the siding factories, or, you know, my father dug clams and drove a truck to try to make a living. I remember he got $25 to go to Portland and back. We thought that was a big deal for Jackson Brothers, you know, over in Tampa Bell. But anyway, what was I going to say? Get off base. But anyway, I remember... Going to the town office because we didn't have any food to eat. Town office at that time was where Eric used to have his where he had his warehouse. And I remember standing in line and all these people looking at us because we had to ask money for food. And that was the first time in my life that I felt bad, because all these other people thinking, what are these poor people here asking for food? So, I mean, I kind of relate some of this psalm, but not entirely, because those people weren't evil, really. But, I mean, it was a bad time in your life when you have to stay in line and ask for something, you know. So, but then I got to high school, and it's bad. Got a better job. We got a better house. I remember we had a house where there was no plugs. It was just lights. It was designed before there was any electricity, really, except for lights. And it used to have a light hang down from the ceiling, and a little portion thing, and you could turn it and pull the whole thing down to change the light. And I remember I got something, I had to figure out how to hook an extension cord into that light. And it was a different time. We had an outhouse. My daughter says, I would never use an outhouse. I said, if that's all you had, I think you might change your mind. And then we moved to town. We went to Pleasant Street town. We got a bathtub. I said, oh, my word, we got a bathtub. I thought I was a king. And of course, we rented it. We named the lady, because she was so mean, we called her Biddy Baker. That was the lady that owned the house. And we used to call, because we'd blow a fuse, right? Back in those days, the fuse box had one fuse in it. And if you tried to make a piece of toast or whatever, it'd blow the fuse. So you'd get down to get Mrs. Baker, and she'd be right mad at you. Because you blew a fuse. So I don't think my mother and dad ever called her that, but us kids called her Biddy Baker. So then we finally got our own house. And we had the same thing. The power in that house had two wires running along in the attic, and you could rub them, and the insulation would come off, and it'd be bare wires. So I remember Dad putting a penny behind the fuse so we could make toast. But, man, it's pretty dangerous, really, when you think about it.
And then,
yeah, I bet, yeah. So, I mean, that's the way it was back in the 50s. Then we got into the 60s, you know, and we became the flower children, you know, flower power and all that in the 60s. But Dad got a better job, and we got a better house. And from there, I actually graduated from high school, believe it or not. I had cousins that quit in the 8th grade. Because back in those days, when you got to the 8th grade going into high school, they gave you a choice. Do you want to go to high school or you want to get done? And I had some cousins that got done, went to work in the sardine industry. I've always wondered, you know, because I went on, I moved, married that beautiful lady down there, and I was fortunate. I got a job with UPS, which was a really, at that time, and I think it still is, a really high-paying job, and with all the benefits, with pensions and all that. And I often wondered, if I had stayed in Lubac, because I worked for Peacock Canning Company, where Marie's mother worked, and if I had stayed there, I wonder where I'd be today. Who knows? But town office for food. I'd be with Jimmy. I'd be running around and say, Jimmy, you got any food for me? So I got all the way there to start in Psalm 37. Just to give you a little background where I'm coming from. Okay. Well, let's see. Well, this is about a Sunday school here. We'll get right to the service just a second. I got another joke for you. A Sunday school teacher asked her little children as they were on their way to church service, and why is it necessary to be quiet in church? One bright little girl replied, because people are sleeping. So please don't go to sleep on me today. Okay, this Psalm 37 was written by David, and verse 25 tells us he was an old man when he wrote it. And verse 25 says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken. This psalm has 8 exhortations. If you don't know what an exhortation is, I looked it up, because I'm not too brilliant, so I looked in the dictionary to see just exactly what exhortation was, in case you don't know. It's an enthusiastic urging, a strong encouragement to do something. And we're going to look at all those if we have enough time. And it also has at least a dozen promises. And we're going to look at those promises too and try to relate them to where we are today. I know if we get that far, we'll go, a little ways until I get too nervous and then we'll finish. Okay. The first verse, if you've got your Bible, Psalm 37:1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, fret. How many have heard that name, the fret? I mean, it's been a long time. They used to use it when I was younger, but I don't know if we use that word today. Fret. Well, fret means don't worry or be anxious. To fret means to burn with worry or envy. When we look around what's going on today in our world, instead of looking up, we do ourselves a disservice, because we should always be looking to Jesus for everything. There's so much evil going on in the world today. There really is. So fret not, people. Fret not. Don't worry about it. And it uses fret a few more times in this time. We see dishonest men in high places and faithful people struggling to survive. We look at the world and say, why do bad people seem to have it so good? The day's coming, folks. It's coming. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And verse 2 says, for they soon shall be cut down like grass, and wither is the green herb. Their success is temporary. Their prosperity is going to pass. It says in the Bible, life is like a vapor, right? I mean, I'm 72 years old. Where did 72 years go? Seems like I was the president of the fourth grade just the other day. And I still see Mrs. Hodgson's face. Mark, wake up. Never forget as long as I'm alive, folks. Believe me. Okay, to key verse of this psalm is verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. How do we trust in the Lord? I mean, when you trust in a lot of things. You trust when you sit down, there's going to be a chair there so you don't hit the floor, right? I've seen people pull a chair away before. But to trust in God, to really trust in God, you have to get in His Word. Read His Word. Learn what He has to say. And the more you read it, the more you learn, the more you will trust Him. His Word is true. And I think it's 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my people walk in truth. And the truth is the scripture of the Word. So read the Word of God. I'm guilty as everybody else. I don't read it all the time. I try to. But there's days, something happens. Craig calls up and says, we've got to put a stove in today, or whatever. And so we have a 10-minute job that turns in 4 hours. But we got it in, didn't we, Craig? Well, that was the dishwasher, not the stove. But the stove's going in next. We see James. James rides by us. Big grin. I was thinking, yeah, thanks a lot, James, for all the help.
I'm
holding. Okay, let's get back to the psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good. Okay, here comes our first promise. I got to get over here so I can get there. I got 2 different sections here. Sorry, folks. Okay, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I think that's what I just read, isn't it? Okay. Sorry about that. We'll go to 4 then. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Okay, the first promise is delight thyself also in the Lord. And if you do that, what's he going to do? here's your promise. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Now, to the light, what's the light mean? The light means to take pleasure in God. Do you take pleasure in God? I mean, I'm trying. I'm not doing very well, but I'm trying to. Everything I do is ask God first. Sometimes I'll ask God last. I mean, I'll be working on the car. And I was working not too long ago. I was putting a set of brake shoes on. And I couldn't get them on. I tried. I really did. And finally I says, God, you got to help me. I can't do this. This what? It went on. I was amazed, really, that I got them on after I asked God. Okay, so if you delight, take pleasure in God, and you find joy in Him, your heart's desire begins to match His, and He will give you the desires of His heart. So the more you study His Word, the more you become like God, your desires are going to be God's desires because you want to be like Jesus or like God. So if you study the Word, you really got to get into the Word if you want this promise, if you want the desires of your heart. Your heart will be like God's because you're going to desire what He wants. The more you study Him, the more closer you get to Him, the desires of your heart are going to be the desires of what God wants. So that's where the promise comes in. You don't get the desires of your heart if you don't do this. This is part of what the psalm is saying. And then verse 5, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Here's your exhortation. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. He's urging you. He's asking you. It's urgent. Commit. How do you commit? Commit means to roll or give. Give your burdens to Him when things happen. Maybe terrible things have happened to you. Shift or give them to Him. Trust Him. He never stumbles. He never fails. He'll never fail us or forsake us. So if you trust in Him and you commit your ways to Him, and you roll things over to Him. Now, you know what? Usually what happens? You give something to God, and what do? You take it back. You know, you pray, you say, I'm going to give this to you, Lord. I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. And the next thing you know, you've taken it back, and you're all worried, you're all running around. Oh, what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? I've done that so many times, I can't tell you. And I'd be worried about something at work. I'd go to bed thinking, oh, no, the bosses are going to be here tomorrow. What are they going to say? They're going to fire me or whatever, you know. And then it turns out to be nothing. The next day you're thinking, why did I worry about that? There's nothing to worry about. It turned out to be nothing. So if you commit your ways, you trust in Him, then you're going to want what He wants, and He'll bring to pass what you want, because what you want is going to be what He wants. So you got to commit, trust, and that's the key, folks. Study the Word, get into the Word, and commit your ways unto God. Trust also in Him. He should bring it to pass. Here's your third promise. Verse number 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. The promise says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. What does that mean? Bring forth His righteousness as the light? It means God will make your righteousness or vindication visible and put it in unmistakable light, exposing what was hidden. And then it's in thy judgment is the noonday. God's decision will be clear and unmistakable. Noon is the brightest time of the day, most obviously time of day, implies fairness, transparency, and finality. So that's a promise from God, and you can have it if you do what I said up above. We're going to go on to verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Here we go. Fret not. Worry not. Don't worry about it at all. Fret not thyself because of the man who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Okay, here's your third promise. Exhortation. I'm getting messed up. Exhortation. Rest in the Lord. Rest. How do you rest in the Lord? You pray. You take time from your day. You rest and pray and mull over His Word. If you do memory verses, I used to do memory verses. I wish I still did, but to be honest, I haven't done one in quite a while. But you mull that over. And the more you mull it over, And what really amazes me, when you do that, if you've got somebody else you do it with and you discuss it, I can't tell you how many times that I got a meaning out of a verse and the other person got something altogether different. But if you rested him, you trusted him, and you wait patiently for him, then you don't have to worry about anybody that prospers. There's a lot of people that do wicked things, and they may come to pass. You know, we see a lot of terrible things happening in our world today. But our Bible says what? We're in the last days. We're to expect it. Those days are coming. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'd just go up through the roof right now. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came right now? We all went up together. Meet my mother from Fredericton up in the middle. Maybe my grandmother over somewhere else. Isn't it going to be a great day when we all get to heaven and we see our loved ones that have gone before us? If you trust, but the key really is back here. Trust in the Lord. Commit your ways. Read his word. Rest in him. Study his word. This psalm has so much in it. It's just unbelievable. And a lot of it I have help because I don't understand everything. So some of these words are not mine. Some of them are. But that one up above I just did, I really didn't understand. He should bring forth righteousness as a light. So I looked that up to see what it meant. Okay, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Here we go. Fret not. Don't worry. Fret not about that anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I hope none of us are doing evil. I try not to. Maybe I have done evil. I don't know. Sometimes you make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But most of the time, well, all the time, I try to do good. I love people. I love all you guys. I'm glad you're here this morning. I even love your grandchildren back there, Bruce. I just met them yesterday at the supper out there at the thing. But they're nice people. Your granddaughter smiling. I mean, how can you beat that? Huh? You're very lucky to have grandchildren. We are too. My son's coming. I don't know if I told you or not, but Susan's 70th birthday is next week. And my son's flying all the way from Nashville to be with us for her birthday. He did it for mine, and it was a surprise. You know, so he stayed out with Craig McCaslin, and Craig called me in the morning and said, "Hey, Mark, I need your help. Can you come out and help me?" I says, 8 o'clock in the morning, you crazy? No, I really need your help. So I go out, and there's my son sitting there in the chair. I had no idea he was going to be there. It scared the life right out of me. I said, "What are you doing here? What's going on? Where'd you come from?" That was a surprise my wife did for me. Couldn't do it for her because he did it for me, and then she knew he was going to do it for her. I couldn't do it for one, not for the other, right? So my beautiful blonde head beauty over there is going to be 70 on October the 23rd. Where did that come from? I don't know. Sorry. Where was I at? Verse 7, I think? 8. Okay. Fret not. Remember, fret not. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about anything, really, folks. We're on our deathbed. We know where we're going. If you're saved. If you're not saved, then you should fret. Because you got a terrible time coming for you. But if you're saved, hallelujah, amen. When I die, have a celebration. I'm going to be with the Lord. And hopefully all of you will be there, and I'll see you all up in heaven. Okay, let's see. Did I do 8? Okay, go to 9. Let's go to verse 9, folks. This is not your common sermon, I know, but I'm a little... Susan said don't apologize, so I'm not going to. Sorry. Verse 9. It's a promise in verse 9. There's a promise. There's another promise. Think of all these promises we got from God. This is just a little taste of them in this verse. But here's another promise from God. For evil doers shall be cut off. Here's the promise. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Not only the earth, we're going to have a new earth, a new heaven. That's our promise, folks. The evil doers. We all know where they're going to go. Because any evildoer can get saved. I don't want to give the wrong impression here. Because anybody, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, God still loves you, and you can still get saved. The thief on the cross. And this, even as a Christian, we're not perfect. We could do anything, but thank God we have God to forgive us. You know, and that doesn't give you a license to do it. Don't take me wrong there either. You don't have a license to go kill somebody or whatever. Say, oh God, I'm sorry. No, you don't have that license. But when you do mess up, you do have someone to, you know, First John 1:9? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we mess up. And so we have that verse we can cling to. So if you do mess up, the best thing you can do is go to God and ask for forgiveness. And he'll forgive you. Then fret not. Don't take it back. Don't take that back. God's got it. You rolled it over to him. Don't worry about it. But I know there's always there's consequences. If you sin, don't take it wrong either. There are consequences to your sin. When you sin, there's going to be consequences. But you give it to God, and he'll take it away from you. But you're still going to maybe pay a price for it. Okay, that's a pretty good promise. The wicked may have a moment, but the righteous have eternity. We're going to have forever. This 72 years I've lived, that's nothing. I'll be gone, and I'll be living forever with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I can't wait myself for that day to come. Okay, let's see. We're on verse number 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And I just said, the wicked's time is short. The believer's eternity is secure. And number 11, we got another promise. And some of these promises are the same, I know, but and some of them are not. This is pretty much what I said up above. But anyway, number 11, the promise is, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We can have peace. We're going to inherit the new earth. And then verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnash upon him with his teeth. But the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. That wicked person's day is coming. God may not act when we want him to, but he always acts when the time is right. So their time, their day is coming. They're going to pay a price. If they don't get saved, I just remember in the Bible where, I can't remember who it was, but just wanted to drop a water off the guy's finger. Who was that, Susan? You remember the name? Lazarus. Yeah, Lazarus. Okay, verse 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword. Now, drawn out the sword. We don't use swords today, do we? But in today's language, I said, the wicked have pulled out their weapons to get their way and have bent their bow. We're not bows. I know some people still bow hunt, but normally they use weapons. So I said, shot their weapons to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be upright conversation. So the wicked doesn't want us to say anything, the Christians. They don't want us out talking, telling about the Lord. Satan doesn't want us to do that. As long as we keep our mouth shut, everybody's happy. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Oh, good to see you. Hey, James, how are you? Good. We don't say, hey, praise the Lord like we should, or hey, are you saved? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Oh, you know what sin is? Most people don't even know what sin is today. And as long as we're quiet, we don't say anything, the wicked are happy. When we make a little noise, that's when we have problems. That's when people start attacking you, saying all this evil. If they try to find something, you're done. To say, well, what, this guy did this in the past. Who do you think he is? You know, and probably they could find stuff I'd done. I don't know. And they throw that in your face because they don't want you talking about Christ. But the best thing you can do is just look past them and keep on going and say, hey, have a great day, brother. Jesus Christ loves you. And maybe they want to talk to you about it. Maybe they don't. But, I mean, it's an opening. It's a chance to. I used to, when I worked for Ops, this is what I did. We used to have a clipboard. They didn't have those electronic things. Those things didn't come till later. way late, I think maybe the last 4 or 5 years we had those electronic computers we carried. I think that's why I have carpal tunnel, because the first one was very heavy. Now they got a little tiny thing. But anyway, I had clipboards. And this is how my memory, this is one of the reasons I did my memory verses. I'd clip my memory verse to the top of that clipboard. And people would say, what is that? What are you got on there, Mark? I said, oh, that's a verse from the Bible that I'm memorizing. And it gave me an opening to talk about Jesus. I couldn't, UPS would not allow me to say anything like that. They'd fire you if they knew. So but if they asked me, then I had a right to say anything I want. So I used that greatly. I witnessed the people through my memory verse. I had it on top of my clipboard. So because you had a sign, right? Everybody, you don't sign today. But back in those days, everybody had a sign for the packages. So I'd pass them my clipboard, say, sign line 34 or whatever. And they'd look up and say, oh, what's that? What's that 3x5 card? Well, that's my memory verse for this week. So, I mean, I don't know what you could use. That worked for me. I mean, it helped. And there's a lot of times when I should have said something, and I'm embarrassed to say I didn't. I'm pretty strong person, strong Christian, if I have somebody with me. When I'm out by myself, it's a different story. I'm kind of chicken sometimes. But as I get older now, I'm not chicken anymore. I don't mind. I'd say anything to anybody. But when I was younger, well, you can ask my wife, when we first started dating, if anybody said boo, I'd run. You know, I wouldn't even eat in front of her parents. She was 15 and I was 17. And we've been together a long time, haven't we? But anyway, before those days, if anybody talked to me, I'd put my head down, try not to say anything, get out of there as quick as I could. Today, you say something to me, you're going to be stuck for a little while because I like to talk. So that's how we changed over the years, folks. From being a weak-kneed person to someone today that don't mind saying anything to anybody. That's why I'm up front of you. I wouldn't, man, when I was 17 years old, do you think I'd get up in front of you? I'd hide under that chair if I'd get up and talk, say anything. I don't know where that came from. I get off on these rabbit trails. Excuse me. Where am I at, Susan? What number? Do you remember? The meek. I think we're on verse 15. Yeah, we're talking about the weapons. And I like 15 because this is where God says their sword are their weapons. The sword is the weapon. Shall enter into their own hearts, and their old bones, bows, weapons shall be broken. In other words, God's going to turn the weapons on them. They're the ones that's going to pay a price. They may think they're great and mighty and all this today. And, you know, maybe they look down on us. I don't care. I have a pretty good life. Got a beautiful wife, a couple of children, 6 grandchildren. They can do whatever they want. But because I know where I'm going. They don't. They think they do. Some of them think they do. Oh, I'm a good person. I've never done anything wrong. You know, I'm the best person in the world. Guess what? You're going to hell unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you right outright. You're going to hell. If you're here today, I think you're all saved. But I don't know. Maybe your grandchildren. I don't know about them. Maybe they don't know. If you don't know Jesus, come talk to me afterward. I want to tell you about Jesus. There's a song that goes, let's talk about Jesus. Uh-oh, my wife's giving me a dirty look. I got to go. I got to move on. What did I do wrong then? Okay, let's move on. 16. A little that a righteous man had is better than the riches of many wicked. And that means a little with God's blessing is better than a fortune without him. You can have all the money in the world, but it's not going to save you. So, and you know, the trouble is, I know there's rich Christians, and I'm glad there are. But some people can't handle money. Some people, well, for an example, I know a married couple that I thought the husband was a little stingy. He never gave his wife much. He had some, but not much. And then when he died, she got the money, and what'd she do with it? She was generous to a fault. She gave it all away. And when it come time to eat, she'd have to call and ask, you know, can I have some money to buy food or whatever? And so there's two ways, folks. You can be way overboard, way under. You can be the stingiest person alive, or you can be the most given person alive. But there's a middle, you know. So you got to take care of yourself. This lady was, I've never met a more generous person in my life. If you needed something, if she had it, it was yours. That's the way she was, but she didn't know how to handle the money, unfortunately. I think my wife knows what I'm talking about. Okay, verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And I put in that one, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And I put after that verse, we've read the back of the book, and we win. We're going to heaven. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Isn't that a great promise there? He knows us, and our inheritance is going to be forever with him. Here's the next promise. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Why? Why shouldn't they be ashamed? In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied, because he has promised to sustain the righteous man in the times of trouble. An example of that, if you know your Bible, is Elijah and the widow. If you know that story of Elijah, he went, the widow had very little food, and not enough really, she didn't think to feed herself and her son. And Elijah come, and she fed him too, and they went every day to this, can't remember the word, but they went every day and got this food out of this bin, and it never, there was nothing in there, but every day there was food there. So God provided for him. He'll do the same for us. I mean, it's like, I don't like to pick on you, James, but my sister Peggy is really in tough shape. And James has been so good to take food to her. And I'm praying that God will use James to lead my sister to Christ. And that's an opening, James. Thank you so much for doing that. I can't tell how much I appreciate that. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, he promises to sustain us, and he does. So it's just, okay, I know it's getting on time. Okay. She's looking at a watch, folks. I'm not going to be able to finish this. I'm not anywhere near the end. Oh, dear. Well, you know what? I'm going to skip ahead to what I want to do. This is my This is what I wanted to use last week, and I never got 2 weeks ago, and I never got to it. We're talking about hands. Remember, I was talking about hands a few weeks ago. So I'm going to skip ahead to verse 23. Psalm. This will be my last one because it's getting 12 o'clock. I got the evil eye for my wife. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man. Who's a good man? If you're saved, you're a good man. And if you're not saved, there's good men that aren't saved too. I'll tell you, there's good people out there. But they still need the Lord. Anyway, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He directs us. If you read his, how does he order us? You look at his word, you read his word, and you yield to the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. But the steps of a good man are of the Lord. And he delighteth. He's happy. He's joyous. He's going along his way. He's smiling. But you know what? How many times have you gone along your way? I've got up. Oh, man, what a beautiful day. Sun's shining. I'm out. Great. And you go to work. Everything's going. And you meet somebody. And they, for whatever reason, they give you a hard time or whatever. Then your day's short, isn't it? The rest of the day, what did I do wrong? Man, it's a horrible day. Started off as a good day. Ended up as a horrible day. But Or if you've done something, some sin or whatever. But if you have that, we come to our eighth promise. And this is the one I like. Though he shall not fail, he shall not be utterly cast down. Though he fail, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's the hand I wanted to use last week, 2 weeks ago. I never made it there. But think about this, folks. If you fall, if you make a mistake, if you sin, God is right there. His hand is tight. He won't let go. He won't lose. He'll pull you back. But you got to ask him to. You can't. He's not going to do it on his own. You've got to be in his will and his way. And he's there to help. He's always there to help us. So if you sin or if you fail, whatever you've done, God is right there with his hand, and he'll pull us back. And I wanted to say that in the last sermon I had. I didn't get there. I didn't finish this one either, so it's 12 noon. So I'll give up today, but there's a lot more promises and stuff there. And I want to keep my wife happy because I love her, so we got to get done. So that's my sermon for the day. I hope I did okay.